Chapter 10. The path bottomed out. Celine stopped. The valley ahead was a barren half-moon. Surrounded by more mountains, Nath's stomach became a little queasy as the stench of decay riled the air.
"What is this place?"
he said to Celine. Ahead, towering stones only giants could have lain jutted out of the ground. They stood upright in a pattern, though some of them had fallen long ago. Many were coated in vines, and some of the blocks were covered in moss and weeds. Nath figured if he could fly and look down on them, the stones would spell out something.
"More temple ruins,"
Celine said, taking a few slow steps forward.
"I think you are familiar with them."
Nath was, but these were bigger. Some of the stones stood as high as 40 feet. He noticed that on some pairs of them, other great stones rested on top, forming massive gateways. It would take 100 horses, maybe more, to move any one of them. He followed Celine, noting the ancient rune markings on the stones. He was familiar with the ancient use of portals. The scales on his neck tingled.
"This isn't your typical ruin,"
he said, looking up at the top of one. A live dragon with a slithering tongue sat perched up there, a gray scaler. Its glowing green eyes narrowed on him. Nath's eyes narrowed back.
"He is here, isn't he?"
"You can feel him,"
Celine said.
"Can't you?"
Dark power. Deep, penetrating, suffocating, evil. It would have taken a man's breath away, dropped the stoutest warrior to his knees. A mist drifted over his ankles, hugging his ankles and giving him a chill. Above, he noticed more dragons perched on stones. Gray scalers, sky raiders, iron tusks, copper hides. The moonlight twinkled off their scales and claws.
"I hate to admit it, but I almost can't feel at all."
But the feeling wasn't unfamiliar to him either. There had been days when he had to face his father Balzerth, knowing he had done wrong. The power that radiated from Balzerth was unimaginable sometimes. At times it seemed his father's mere thoughts could shake the room. Nath swallowed, summoned up his courage. Now he was facing a power just as great but unfamiliar. A power that wasn't warm and fiery, but instead an icy breath of death. He then heard his father's voice inside his head.
"You can have faith in me or in your friends, but don't forget to have faith in yourself, Nath."
"Are you scared, Nath?"
Celine said, glancing back at him.
"I think I see fear in your eyes. It worries me."
"And I note a tremble in your voice,"
he said, pulling back his shoulders and stepping to her side.
"But I'd be lying if I said I didn't feel fearful."
"Fear is good. It can give us an edge."
"Us?"
She didn't say anything, but it felt like a slip. A good one. The kind that gave his spirits a lift. Maybe Celine wasn't going to double-cross him. He took a deep, silent breath through his nose and into his chest, stoking the dim fires within. Onward he went with Celine through the network of colossal stones where dragons loomed like large gargoyles on top. Celine's hand even gently brushed against his a couple of times.
"Remember,"
she said, slowing her pace as they approached another rectangular archway.
"Don't do anything unless I do something first."
"I won't,"
he nodded. Gawking up at the archway, 40 feet tall and 20 feet wide, he noticed a great chair of stone in the distance. On either side, great urns burned with the glow of a purplish-red fire. He'd seen such thrones before, and the sight sent another sliver of ice through his scales. A dragon, bronze and long-necked, squawked above them. Other dragons squawked in return. It seemed their arrival had been announced.
"Let's go, then,"
Nath said, and through the archway they went.